Good morning. So we heard in our first presentation about reforms to the Food and Drug Administration related to microbial contaminants. And then we just heard from Dr. Wong about concerns about a chemical contaminant in seafood. And this presentation is also going to continue on that theme about other concerns about other chemical contaminants. And this time we're focusing on pesticides and the residues left through the use of pesticides in agriculture on food. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why we're concerned about pesticides in general and particularly on food, talk a little bit about the existing monitoring system that's set up to monitor and detect those residues, and then go into some of our research on the adequacy of that testing program, and conclude with some discussion of these concerns and recommendations. So there's a lot that we could spend the whole time here talking about health risk associated with pesticides, but I want to touch on a few key points that relate to our concerns about specifically about pesticide residues on food. And so one is to note that pesticides are toxic both in sort of an acute sense in terms of pesticide exposure event, but also at lower levels. We're concerned about health effects that include cancer, include reproductive and developmental toxicity. And there's increasingly more research on the fact that this sort of low-level exposure is particularly of concern during key developmental stages, during prenatal exposure and also during early life. And there was this study, three different studies came out this spring that really pointed to this concern, that we have that low levels of a neurotoxic pesticide, organophosphates, which are widely used in agriculture, associated with detriment in cognitive function for the children born of those women who are exposed. And there's also some really interesting research that points to the fact that food is the major source of organophosphate exposure for children. And this was shown very dramatically. In this study that was done in Washington that monitored the breakdown product or metabolite of an organophosphate pesticide malathione in children fed their normal diet, which included conventional produce, and then specific days where they were fed an organic, only organic foods. And so those purple arrows on the slide point to the levels of that breakdown product in their urine during the organic diet days. And you can see that it decreased dramatically and that in some places it was absolutely zero, which really, this finding has been replicated in other studies, really points to the fact that organophosphate exposures for children these days are coming from food. Also concerned about pesticide residues on food due to the ever-increasing, and Mr. Olson mentioned this in his first presentation, reliance on imported produce. Actually, in the last decade, our imported fruits and vegetables have increased twofold in terms of their what's present in the market. This map here was created by a colleague at UC Davis, and it's using the Food and Drug Administration's monitoring data, and the darker colors show the higher violation rates, so that's higher rates of illegal pesticide residues found on produce, and you can see that those countries around the world that are supplying produce to the United States were found to have higher levels of illegal pesticides. So there's a lot that goes into protecting food safety and food safety related to pesticides in particular. But right now, with talking about this research is focused on that surveillance and monitoring component of protecting food safety. And our research question has to do with evaluating the extent to which this monitoring program is adequate for protecting public health and ensuring food safety. Before I go into some of the results of that investigation, here's a little bit of trying to untangle the alphabet soup of all the agencies that are involved in this related to pesticide residue control and monitoring. So starting at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is the agency that's responsible for setting the standards for what is acceptable level of residue or safe level of residue on fruits and vegetables. And they do this using risk assessments, and those acceptable levels are actually known as tolerances. And they base those risk assessments on research and monitoring coming from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And so that's pesticide residue data that's specifically designed in the research functionality. The surveillance and enforcement arm of this pesticide residue control program is undertaken by the Food and Drug Administration. And they're in charge of monitoring and enforcement of those tolerance levels that were set by EPA. And on the state level, the California Department of Pesticide Regulation, which is CDPR, does their own surveillance and enforcement program of pesticide residue monitoring. So we have three agencies that have collect data on an annual basis on pesticide residue levels. So we started out by looking at just a sort of overview comparison of these different pesticide testing programs and looking at some of the indicators or metrics of how those programs operate and what they find. And you notice some really significant differences between these different agencies that point to the differences in their monitoring programs. To start off, the difference between the two federal programs, that's USDA and FDA, notice that USDA's program, which is designed to be representative samples, has a lot of samples per year, but a small number of commodities tested, and they don't test for the same commodities every year. They also have a greater emphasis on domestic produce. You flip the equation, you look at the Food and Drug Administration, smaller number of samples, larger number of commodities tested, and a greater emphasis on imported produce. Just note that the California program, which is a statewide program, has about the same number of samples tested every year as the federal program. So just to get into some of the results of our research here and looking at the adequacy of the Food and Drug Administration's monitoring program, so what we did was we looked at the kinds of fruits that had high levels of violation. We used 2% violation rate as a cutoff, which is about the average of what FDA finds every year. So we looked at what fruit in the major fruit commodity categories had greater than 2% violation rate. And we looked at the USDA data and we compared it to the FDA data. What's noticeable here is that despite the fact that all of those produce commodity categories that are marked with a star are tested in both programs, only strawberries show up as both as high violation rates in both. So for example, peaches, which are found to be 12% violation rate in USDA data, has a less than 2% violation rate in FDA's data. So there's a concern that the FDA might be actually missing violations on, for example, on peaches. And if you look, if you drill down a little bit more specific to one commodity, you see how this issue of missed violations can play out, and also get a sense of maybe some of the reasons why this might be happening. So we look specifically at pesticides, and again, we're comparing the data that was collected in a single year from USDA and the Food and Drug Administration. These are the most recent years in which bananas were tested in each program. And although the Food and Drug Administration tests for all the pesticides that are listed here, both that they found and that USDA found, FDA did not find any of the pesticides that the USDA found. And the USDA, the ones that the USDA actually found, were also in violation. So those were pesticides that are not permitted to be on bananas, and they were found on bananas. Note also that the sample size differs significantly between USDA and FDA, and so that here in 2008, the Food and Drug Administration assessed the safety of all the bananas imported into the U.S. based on a testing of 11 bananas. One of the other concerns that we've seen when we're looking at the Food and Drug Administration's data is that we see a pattern of repeat violations, where we see every year a similar set of commodities from similar countries, same pesticides. So this here is a graph of methimidophos, which is an organophosphate, whose use of methimidophos on produce has actually been restricted by the EPA due to concerns about exposures through food. And yet it's been was found every year for the last 5 years at relatively high rates of violation on peas from one country, from Guatemala. Guatemala is the main source of imported peas into the United States, and yet we see the same pattern. And it raises the question as to what degree of efficacy this program is actually achieving, because we're seeing the same violations in the same country year after year. In terms of looking again at this issue of missing violations, We took a comparison between the U.S. Department of Agriculture data and the Food and Drug Administration data, looking this time at what pesticides were covered in the two programs. And we found that there are 25 pesticides that were found to be on produce in violation in the USDA data that the Food and Drug Administration doesn't even test for. So these are violations that are being found in the USDA data that the FDA data is not finding. And these pesticides have a whole host of health concerns, including carcinogenicity, endocrine disruption, and reproductive and developmental toxicity. So there's a reason to be worried about these pesticides, but the FDA is not testing for them. This issue of the testing methods was explored a bit in the California context. The Department of Pesticide Regulation did a pilot study using newer methods, and when they used on a smaller subset of their commodities. And when they did this study, they found two things. They found, one, that they were able to detect pesticides not previously detected using the methods that FDA uses and that they had been previously using. And they also found an increased rate of pesticide detections. And I highlighted two types of produce that are very commonly consumed by kids, and where the peel is consumed also, that had huge jumps with the new methods. More than twice in some cases, or twice the detection rate of pesticides on those produce items. And just to explore the issue of this idea of missing violations again, we spent some time looking at the literature for what pesticides are of concern in the countries where these products are being grown for export to the United States. And one that came up in the literature are EBDC pesticides. These are fungicides. There's a whole group of them. And they're not tested for by the FDA, the USDA, or the California program. But there's a number of reasons to be concerned. One is we see use mancozeb as a type of EBDC pesticide, and there's evidence that's being used on produce that's being grown to be exported to the U.S. And also the breakdown product of these EBDC pesticides, ethylene thiourea, which is actually the most toxic component that we're worried about. The breakdown product can be formed in the environment or in the human body, so it can be detected actually in food, is detected in the processed food monitoring that the Food and Drug Administration does. So not testing for the pesticide itself, but they did test for the breakdown product in processed food, and it was found in 15%. Of banana-flavored food in the most recent data that's available, which raises some significant concerns, particularly for this class of pesticides that we're concerned about carcinogenicity, concerned about endocrine disruption, and reproductive and developmental toxicity. This is a threat that was not currently being characterized by any of the monitoring programs. So in conclusion, there's a number of different concerns that we have about the adequacy of the Food and Drug Administration's pesticide residue program. We're concerned that there's an insufficient number of samples. We actually did a very rough calculation looking at the samples, sample size, how many samples in a given year, and came up with an estimate that by weight, we're looking at, you know, FDA tests something about 0.00002% of the produce that's on the market in the US. Very small number of samples, particularly very small number of samples when you look at each commodity from each individual country, particularly in the imported foods. Questionable sample size, you wonder whether or not a single banana characterized as a sample, and particularly those two things collected together, number of samples and sample size, you have that situation where 11 bananas are being used to characterize the safety of bananas in the U.S. Concerned that the FDA program doesn't cover all the pesticides that we might actually be worried about. Their FDA's current testing program has the capability of detecting about half of the 400 pesticides that are approved for use on fruit and vegetables in the United States. We're concerned about old testing methods that may not be detecting specific pesticides that we're worried about, and not having levels of detection low enough to actually find the pesticides that we're worried about. And aside from the sort of more analytical component, there isn't a program to make the information available to growers in these countries about what is or isn't okay to use. I can tell you from experience, it is not easy to figure out what pesticide is you know, you can use on what kind of commodity. Even for me, who speaks English as a first language and is very well versed in looking at data, it's very difficult. This information is not readily available. And the importance of that component was actually shown recently in California, where in California they actually saw that same pattern that I showed of organophosphate or methimidophos residues on peas year after year. And they actually initiated a program, an outreach program, to Guatemala to actually address that concern. They reported in their most recent year of data a drop in violations from organophosphate pesticide residues on food. We need to see that level of intervention, the level of information happening at the federal level so that information is available to all growers. And lastly, I'll just say that the Food and Drug Administration points to a study done on the adequacy of the monitoring program that was completed 2 decades ago. We know that the landscape of our fruits and vegetables and where they're coming from has changed in the last 2 decades. The evidence that showed you today show that there are significant reason to be concerned about violations that are being missed by this program, and we need to see the Food and Drug Administration taking another look at this program and improving it. Thanks to folks who helped me.